Board of Directors for the Santa Clara Valley Water Agency, and I'm speaking to you from the very quiet boardroom at Rio Vista. And hopefully one day we'll have more people joining me. So with that, I would like to ask Director Ozahosky if he would not mind reciting the Pledge of Allegiance for us. And I would ask everyone else to mute your device and quietly say it to yourself.
It was my honor, President Martin. So for the purpose of this meeting, you can remain seated. Please place your right hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Director Ozahosky. All right, we'll have our regular announcements for the meeting tonight. Meeting is being conducted in accordance with authorizations and requirements contained in Governor Newsom's Executive Order N-29-20, signed on March 17, 2020. Board and staff, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak to avoid feedback, echoing, and background noise. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. All board members, please turn on your camera during the meeting. Staff, please turn on your camera when speaking and turn them off when you are done speaking. Board members will be advised to use the raise hand feature in Zoom when action and discussion items are presented. I will call on each of you when it is your turn to speak. The public may comment on items covered on the agenda during item three, or may do so at the time each item is considered and will be limited to 3 minutes per comment. I will add a few words here that when you speak on items not on the agenda, do it on item three. When we get to the actual item, you'll be limited to comments pertaining to that item. The public may comment on items, okay. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. Please do not turn on your camera unless you are speaking during public comment, and then please turn them off when you have completed your comments. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial star 9, raise your hand. To raise your hand, phone participants will be called upon by the last two digits of their phone number. When it is your turn to speak, dial star 6 to unmute. When you are finished with your public comment, staff will re-mute you. Please be familiar with the last two digits of your phone number. We will use the following procedure to approve items and take public comments. I will introduce each agenda item. I will ask for questions from board members. Please raise your hand on Zoom to do that, and I will then call for public comment. The board may then ask additional questions and discuss further if necessary, including public comments, if desired. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for the roll call votes. The board secretary will be doing attendance by roll call, and each item being considered will be taken by roll call. The PowerPoint shown at tonight's meeting can be viewed on the SCV Water website. And with that, I will pass to Board Secretary April Jacobs to do the roll call for tonight's attendance.
Thank you, President Martin. As I call your name, please say present. Director Cooper, are you present?
Present.
Director Colley, are you present?
I am here.
Director Gladbeck, or Vice President Gladbeck, are you present?
Yes.
Director Kelly, are you present?
Yes, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Director Ford, are you present?
Present.
Director Plambeck, are you present?
Yes, I'm here.
Director Ozahosky, are you present?
Present.
Director Armitage, are you present?
Present.
Director Bronstein, are you present?
Present.
Vice President Mortensen, are you present?
Present. Good evening, April.
Good evening, Mr. Mortensen. President Martin, are you present?
I am present.
Thank you very much. We now be back to you.
Very good. We move on to item three, public comments. And before I start, let me say that I am changing the procedure a little bit tonight to save time. In the past, I have tried to scroll down the list of participants to call on public commenters myself. To save time, I've asked the board secretary to go ahead and let us know who has public comment on each item. So with that, I'd like to remind the public that those on the landline to hit *9 to raise their hand and *6 to unmute. For those on a device such as a computer, smartphone, or other, to raise their hand. I would also like to remind commenters to please complete your public comment before any questions might be answered if there is to be any responses. With that, April, please let us know if we have public comment.
I am having a hard time here with my screen. Let me stop sharing here so I can see. There we go. It does not appear we have any public comment. There is no hands up at this time. Oh, I see a hand. It just went up. Ms. Noltmeyer, hold on just a moment. I can share our screen here. Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit *6 and you may begin your public comment. Ms. Noltmeyer?
Yes, I thank you. I didn't understand what you went as Noltmeyer. Yes, I'm calling and I really have a public comment for our new board members. And I thought it might be interesting for them to learn how the agency works. And the best way to do that would be to get copies of the March 2nd, 2021 meeting. And with that, it will cover Santa Clarita Water Finance Corporation annual meeting, the Upper Santa Clara Valley Joint Power Authority regular board meeting, and the Devil's Den Water District Special Board meeting. That way you would become familiar with all of the agencies besides yourself, and some of these are very important. And that might help you understand what's going on, why it's going on, and also I wanted you to be aware of that the agency has money problems, and it has a huge debt with they keep rolling to borrow more, and it's huge. If you wanted to see that, I could also provide that to you. Anyway, so welcome aboard, and if you want that information, I hope you'll look at it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer. Mr. Ferdman, if you'd like to unmute yourself, you can begin your public comment. Mr. Ferdman?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. You may begin your public comment.
Okay, thank you very much. Good evening, board members. My name is Alan Ferdman. I'm a Canyon Country customer, and I've attended the last two Urban Water Management Plan workshops. And I just wanted to tell you that the first one I thought was excellent. Staff members answered questions. We got a lot of good information. And there were questions that remained for the second one. But in the last meeting, it was totally a different situation. And the idea that they were going to answer questions just wasn't there. But so I thought maybe I could ask you some of them. For the first is that we kept hearing about the number of residential customers you have as being 275,000. Well, that just happens to be approximately the population of the whole valley. So I'm wondering if you're talking about customers or users. And when we talked about the amount of water necessary to support the New Hall Ranch project, it became very evident that currently the SCB Water Board does not control all of the water in Santa Clarita. that they do not control water pumped by other agencies or other individuals. So it would be nice to be able to actually compute out of the 21,000 homes what the water demand is going to be. And I would ask you to kind of think about and tell us how you can develop an accurate urban water management plan when you don't control all the water. Certainly that's got to be considered somehow in your plan, either by definition or by reference to where you could get that information. So I think that most of the staff knows I love numbers, and I listen to the numbers that they spout, and then I try to make sense out of them. And in this particular case, I'm having a great deal of difficulty because I don't think that the numbers really represent what we have. So if you could help clarify that, I'd really appreciate it. I want to thank you very much for your time, and appreciate being able to address you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ferdman.
Thank you, Mr. Ferdman, for your comment. You covered a number of points there. I would ask in the interest of time for everyone else, if you could contact the staff during working hours and discuss this with either Dirk Marks or Manager Stone, I'd appreciate it. I think some of this information has been put out there public many times, so I would ask you to do that. So April, is that the conclusion of our public comment?
It appears so.
Thank you very much. We can now move on to item 4, approval of the agenda. I would have to entertain a motion for approval of the agenda.
Mortensen.
Second motion by Cooper.
Motion by Director Mortensen, second by Director Cooper. Are there any public comments on the agenda before we call for the vote?
Does not appear that there is.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Secretary. Please call the roll.
Director Osohosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Planbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Vote yes, thank you.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you, the agenda has been approved.
Thank you very much. We move on to item 5, the consent calendar. Tonight we have 7 items on the consent calendar, and I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
I'd like to pull a couple items, if that's possible. This is Lynn Planbeck.
I hear you, Mr. Director Planbeck. Which items would you like to pull?
I'd like to pull number 5.2, and I just have some questions on these. So 5.2 and one that has all the engineering stuff in it. Which one is that? Oh, with 5.5.
5.5. So let me ask you, Director Planbeck, you say you have a few questions. Would you prefer to just ask questions or have a presentation made on the item?
No, I don't need a presentation. I just wanted to ask some questions about it when it comes to those.
All right. Well, why don't you ask your questions about 5.2 and 5.5, and hopefully we'll be able to keep it on consent.
All right. My question about 5.2 is I didn't see the actual contract in the packet for the sanitation plant. And was that it? I was looking through the Water Resources Committees because maybe it's there. Is it there? And when we're being asked to approve a contract, I wish the actual contract would be included somewhere. And maybe the question would be for Mr. Stone is, number one, I would like to have a copy of the contract. If it's in the watershed committee, I can go and get it there, but I didn't know where to look for it. And I'm not on that committee. The other thing is that it's extending the time, which I have no problem with. However, is that the only thing that's being changed on the contract? And I really feel uncomfortable about voting for a contract when I don't have a copy of it.
Mr. Stone, can you address Director Planbeck's question?
Sure, I'm not sure
I guess you're asking for a copy of the extension or the contract itself?
Well, I probably have the contract, but did it get rewritten? How was the extension? You probably had to do, yeah, probably just the extension. I think I have the original contract. But I just would like to see if we're going to vote on something like that, that I'd like to see what it is we're voting on.
I can address those questions if you'd like me to, Matt.
Yeah, thanks. I was a little surprised it wasn't in there. Was it in the committee packet, Dirk?
No, the actual amendment was not, nor the original contract was not included in the committee package.
Okay, just describes the terms here.
The board letter just describes what is different from the existing contract. The main item is to extend the term by 5 years. There was some cleanup to language in the contract, things like the old CLWA being replaced with Santa Clarita Valley Water. Used to be there were two sanitation districts. Now it's one sanitation district, so that was noted. And then also there was a slight adjustment to the simplification, really, to the payment provisions, which were set at the lowest of the two potential payment schemes that currently exist in the existing contract. And then that was to be increased by the consumer price index. But that was the extent of the changes. I think there was also some language that changed that clarified that the only entity that the sanitation district would sell recycled water to over the term of the agreement.
No, I'm sorry. I really feel uncomfortable approving a contract or approving somebody signing a contract when I haven't seen the contract. I don't think that that's good fiduciary duty on the part of the board.
Dirk, is that a time-sensitive item?
It could be deferred. The current contract does not expire until July. Okay, so we could provide that
at the April 20 regular meeting. We could bring it back and provide Director Kleinbeck with a copy of the contract.
Certainly.
All right. Would that make you feel more comfortable, Director Kleinbeck?
That would make me feel more comfortable, and I imagine other people would like to have a copy of the contract.
I see a couple of heads nodding. So with that, I would like to pull item 5.2 from the consent calendar for consideration at the April 20th board meeting, regular board meeting. And that leaves item 5.5. Do you have questions answered?
I know this is our usual list of consultants that we have, but I'm wondering, I'm looking down the list and I see maybe possibly three companies that might be headed by women, and I see none that are minority owned. And I'm wondering if we're making any kind of efforts to do any outreach and be more diverse in our contracting, and because it's a lot of money. And I think it would be wonderful if we could get some women-owned companies or some minority-owned companies involved.
Okay, Director Kleinbeck, this is the approve, receiving, and filing. I think your comment could be noted and addressed by staff and probably responded to either offline or at a later time.
Okay, well, maybe we can put it on as a future agenda item for, and I don't know whether it should go on public outreach or finance or what. It just seems like, you know, I just was going through that list and I'm thinking we are not really making any diverse purchases here.
Okay, we'll leave it to the general manager to decide how it is they can deliver you the information you're asking for.
All right, thank you.
All right, with that, 5.5 remains on the consent calendar. So we have pulled 5.2. So we have a motion and a second. Do we need to make another motion with item 5.2 pulled, Mr. Barrett?
President Martin, I think you have a question from Director Armitage.
Kathy. Go ahead, Director Armitage.
Thank you. I just had a brief question on 5.6 and 5.7, the financial reports. Is there a reason why our reports only include the top 10 expenditures and we don't get the full list of expenditures?
I would ask perhaps Eric or Director Mortensen might be able to respond to that. Vice President Mortensen, I think we've gone round and round on how much information is in these reports. And I think they've tried to. Go ahead, Vice President Mortensen.
Thank you. Our practice has been to try to save a few trees by not listing every expenditure that the agency engages in. We spend over $650,000 a day. So to give a feel for our largest expenditures, we limited at 10. If it is the will of the board to extend that to 100 or 1,000, whatever the top expenditure number is, I think we'd all be happy to accommodate that.
Mr. President Martin, could I make an addition to that comment?
Sure, Director Planbeck, go ahead.
You know, at one point, we used to receive all the check register, and it was quite bulky, and I think the Finance Committee asked that that be not provided to all the directors. But if you look on the front page, the link goes to the check right in that item, there's a link. And I think that that goes to the check register. So you can see everything, it's there.
Okay, perfect.
Get it online.
That's great. Thank you for the explanations from both of you.
Good, thank you, Director Planbeck. Does that answer your question, Director Armitage? Okay, good. All right, with that,
President Martin, Director Oskohosky has his hand up.
Thank you. Go ahead, Director Oskohosky.
Director Planbeck, regarding your comment, are you suggesting that we should pick companies based on gender, race?
I was looking for more diversity. And obviously you can't pick someone. They have to be able to do the job as well. But I didn't know if we were doing any outreach to have more diversity. And I just think that that would be a good thing for us.
Can you define diversity?
Well, right now it looks like the majority of those companies are all run by men. And, you know, the ones that have been in here presenting, I don't know. I don't know if this is the right place for the discussion on this, but I'll be glad to discuss it with you.
Director Kelly, do you have
I suggest that we do not pick companies based on race and gender, and any consideration made by Mr. Stone, we should bring that to the board for discussion and for vote. That's it. Thank you.
Okay, Director Kelly, you had your physical hand in the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that we have a lot of organizations that we utilize their services. We've gotten them through AQUA at the conferences and through the different meetings. And I know that I fought for one of them that's a woman-owned business because she has done a lot in the industry and she's now working with us. So I think it's up to all of us to go out and reach out and see who's interested. But it is the kind of thing that you can, you know, the old saying, lead a horse to water, you can't always make them drink. And a lot of times they just don't feel that they want to approach us either. So it's a two-way street. But we have reached out and we do have quite a few companies, and maybe they're not on this list, but I look forward to seeing more of them. So nice job, Pam.
All right. I don't see, I'm looking for hands raised. I don't see any. So we do have a motion, but now the motion.
President should... Martin, we do not. We do not have a motion or a second.
All right.
So I'll move to Martinson.
Second, RJ.
This is consent calendar with 5.2 removed, right?
Correct.
All right. We have a motion and a second. Now I can ask for public comment.
It does not appear we have any public comment.
So please proceed with the roll call vote, please.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes. Thank you.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osohosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
The consent calendar has been approved, excluding item 5.2.
Thank you, directors, and thank you for the comments and discussion. So we move on to item 6, action item for approval. We have one item on the agenda, item 6.1, which is the approval resolution authorizing the restructuring of the Valencia Water Division acquisition interfund loan. And the presenter tonight is Eric Campbell. But as always, I'd ask General Manager Stone, do you have any words of introduction before we turn it over to Eric?
You know, just to say this is a follow-through on a concept that was developed in conjunction with the current rate case that we're moving forward. And this piece of it was brought through the Finance and Administration Committee and is now presented to the board for their consideration. So Eric will walk through that, and we're happy to address any questions we can.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stone. So the presentation is fairly short and straightforward. If I can get to the next slide, I'll just tee up the idea. As General Manager Stone mentioned, part of the rate case that will be coming towards you, we've done a lot of work about how we can best manage the impact and manage the rate of our customers. And when we got to the Valencia Water Division, we recognized that they had this interfund loan that was created at the time of their acquisition. And we were able to determine that by lowering the stated interest rate on that loan to today's, our cost of funds today as a and the entire agency, it would be able to let us drop that interest rate down from 4.5% annually to 2.55%. And we also were looking, the purpose of this was to try to manage the impact of the amount of the legacy debt charge. And so what we came up with is the recommendation to lower the interest rate, extend the term of the life by 5 years. And what happens there is a couple of significant things. First of all is it'll cap the debt service payments at $4.2 million approximately, and that's towards the end of the life of this loan rather than the current $4.7 million. And if I can go to the next slide, please. What that does for rates for the Valencia customers, it enables us to set the legacy debt charge, the base charge for the 3/4 inch customers, $4.55 a month lower than if we don't do this. Basically, the legacy debt charge for them would be $11.05 per month. But by doing this action here, we can reduce it to set it at $6.05 per month. The agency will not be forgiving any debt. It will be paid in full. And one of the good things as a retail water purveyor, what we are doing here is we're saving our Valencia customers here $9.2 million in interest costs over the life of this loan. So this is something that has a lot of positive impacts on our customers. And it's something that we can do with this resolution that we put before you tonight if you can approve this. This will be a key part of our rate plan. So that's what I have. And if there's any questions, we'll be glad to talk through them.
Thank you, Eric, for the presentation. And I will be looking for hands for questions from the board. Do we have any questions from board members on Eric's presentation? All right, I don't see any. So I would just make one comment that as a Valencia ratepayer myself for a long, long time, I appreciate the effort to save all of our ratepayers money and the $9.2 million saved. I think that's an outstanding benefit of our of your efforts, Eric. So with that, I'd ask for public comment before we call for the motion and second and vote.
Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit star six. You may begin your public comment.
This is Cam Noltmeyer. I'm a Valencia ratepayer, and this isn't really saving us anything. You're extending the loan for another couple years. And it gets worse because I saw the original that was presented, and then it jumps way up in the amount of we pay, and that's what's happening here. I don't know what you think you're trying to impress us with this or whatever, but as the Valencia ratepayer, I'm getting a little tired of how we're treated. Like we should be paying this. I didn't see any of the other ones with their legacy debt paying theirs. And this is what you're doing to us. And I'm very much against this. I don't think it's fair. And I guess maybe we're just going to have somebody coming in and looking out for our side of things. Because this is, and it irritates me when something presented like this, like it's saving you all this money. It's not saving you that money when you're extending the number of years we have to pay. And this is going to a ridiculous time frame. If you read what it's doing, it's ridiculous. It's just putting all this expense and everything longer time. Now, common sense tells you that means it's not really saving us anything. And we shouldn't be paying it to begin with. So I don't understand why Valencia Water Company is taking such a beating. And I don't see why we're allowing it. But apparently it's for the benefit of the developers, where you need this water for the Newhall Ranch development that's going through. And that's what I've been following through all of this. And I'm down to the point of thinking that we have to get some legal advice on what's going on with us versus what's been going on with the other agencies that came into this joint, whatever you want to call it. But it certainly is not doing us any good. And I don't think you will listen to us. And I don't see how anyone can say this. I heard where this setup was. And actually, it was the...
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer. Your time is up.
Thank you.
All right, I'd entertain a motion for approval of item 6.1.
President Martin, you have a couple of directors that have their hands up. Director Plambeck and Vice President Mortensen.
All right, I was anxious to get on to the motion, but Vice President Mortensen, please ask your question.
So this is for Eric Campbell. Two questions, if you'll indulge me. One, is the total interest payable by Valencia ratepayers reduced by $9.2 million by our taking this action? Even though the term is extended, is there a total savings to the ratepayers of the Valencia water division of $9.2 million.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. If you'll support this action, the total interest payments will be $9.2 million less than they would be if you reject this item.
So no funny math, no stretching it out and giving you a lower payment and actually, you know, making you pay more interest in the end. This is an actual savings. Just wanted to put an exclamation point on that. And then the second question, since our bills are going to remain the same, are the other divisions then going to have to pick up that extra $9.2 million so that we can give this delightful break to our Valencia brothers and sisters?
No, they will not have to. This is not sharing the cost. This is a legacy debt that we're restructuring. We're suggesting that we restructure internally so that we can reduce the bill impact to just the Valencia ratepayers. Essentially, this is resulting in us reducing our own income coming into the agency. Because we're a public agency, we're looking for ways to manage the cost to our customers.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question, Vice President Morton?
Yeah, I'm still a little uncertain about question number two, to be honest, but it certainly answers number one, which was my prior understanding.
All right, Director Planback, what is your question?
Well, it was just more of a comment than a question. I just wanted to thank the finance committee for looking at ways that the interest rate could be reduced. And it is essentially $9 million is 2 years worth of payments. So it is not a huge reduction, but it is a help. So I think it was a good try.
Thank you, Director Plant. Director Armitage, your question.
Thank you. I have a comment and a question. I apologize if this was raised. I dropped off the call for a little bit and had a hard time getting back on. But just to frame this a little bit for anybody in the public who's watching, this one piece is being addressed now in preparation for public notice, right, in consideration of rate changes to create the uniform rates. And we're at this point, the way I understand it, because previously each water division had its own board of directors who made decisions differently, and that impacted their rate structures. And they each made decisions on whether or not to take on debt for capital projects, right? So those who were on the board and made the decisions for the ratepayers of Valencia Water Division previously kept their rates lower compared to other divisions and also took on debt to pay for large projects, which is why I understand we're currently in this position now, facing decisions regarding rates that will seem to impact the Valencia Water Division customers more. Am I correct in this assessment so far, Mr. Campbell? Oh, am I frozen again?
Let me get this off mute. No, I was on mute.
Okay.
I would have to agree with most of that. I mean, it's the businesses were a bit different, the Valencia folks, and the way that they traded their capital projects was different than the way that the public agencies did this. But what we're looking at here, this is essentially refinancing the acquisition loan that they have been paying on. When the Santa Clarita Water Division was acquired, they too had a acquisition loan, but since that was taken on, they actually refinanced it into revenue bonds based on their creditworthiness. The Valencia division did not do that. They did not have the credit capacity to do this. And essentially what we're doing is doing it for them at this time so that we can manage the rates more effectively and do a better job for them.
Right.
That's okay. What this is about.
Thank you.
When they bought Valencia Water Company in 2012, essentially the Valencia Water residents are buying the company. And so that's what they're talking about with the legacy debt. It was $73 million. And that's why Ms. Noltmeyer is complaining about it, as I understood it, is she didn't think they ought to have to buy back their own water company.
Right. Okay.
Director Colley, you had your hand raised, I believe, before Director Plantback.
I wasn't done.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kathy, go ahead.
Well, that's okay. I mean, my whole point of kind of setting that up was that, you know, we can't change anything in the past. We're at this point now where we have to make these decisions and move forward with creating the unified rate structure without shifting debt to the other ratepayers in the other divisions, since they chose to make financial decisions differently. And I'm not on the Finance and Administration Committee, so this is the only place I can share my thoughts about this. So I just want to say I appreciate the effort that is being taken to reduce the legacy debt with this loan restructure. I do want to voice that I'm still concerned about the significant increase still to the Valencia ratepayers in the other monthly fees, especially to those who are on fixed incomes and for whom this may be another additional increase in monthly costs. So I know from the discussion in the Public Outreach and Legislation Committee that staff has started looking into a ratepayer assistance type of program and was going to start with data collection and a needs assessment process. And I just want to stress that I really hope that we can have some serious movement in this area to provide such a program as we go into this decision-making process for a rate restructure. So I just wanted to stress that since the Valencia customers are a large portion of our customer base. And then lastly, my question is, are you anticipating that the monthly legacy debt payment for Valencia will remain at 650 all the way through 2048?
No, I'm not anticipating that. We're setting it for the five-year period of the rate plan through fiscal 26. And I'm looking at the debt service table as Appendix A. And the annual payments on that, it will, the goal on this restructuring was to immediately reduce the annual payment so that the rates, the rest of the rate components could catch up. Over time, this legacy debt charge will increase back up higher, but it will never go as high as it was and as it has been and as it is right now. I guess a simple way to say that is currently the debt service payment on this loan is $4.7 million a year. And at its peak in the last last 13 years, it will only reach $4.2 million, which is still $500,000 a year less. So basically, you know, they've been making these payments all along, and with this rate study, we've been able to break down all the different components of the rates, and we found this area here that we could definitely request and come up with a plan to reduce and manage the impact over this five-year period, and we're actually managing it for the rest of this loan. The total, like I said earlier, the total amount of interest payments that the Valencia customers would be paying under this proposal is over $9 million less. I know that I heard that's not a lot of money, but again, $9 million is a lot of money when you're looking at it all and you're talking about your customers' money. So this was a meaningful, a very good approach that we've taken. This is the most meaningful item to manage the impact for any of our customers' rates that we were able to come up with. And we certainly did look hard. We worked hand in hand with the ratepayer advocate to come up with this plan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Director Colley, you have a question.
Yeah, I just thought I'd sort of provide a little bit of maybe my take, what I think is clarification, in that we recently refinanced the majority of the agency's debt. And if we continue to charge the Valencia customer the rate that we used to pay for funds, and having now refinanced it, to leave it the way it is, to reject this proposal and to leave it the way it is, would benefit all the other ratepayers and cost the Valencia ratepayer, effectively making the Valencia ratepayer subsidize the every other ratepayer in the agency. And of course, that's just not fair. That would be. Well, grossly unfair and dumb. So restructuring the debt in some way is the only fair thing to do, and this one is reasonable.
Very good. Thank you, Director Colley. Director Planbeck, you have another comment or question?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, it's just a comment because I know this is difficult for the newer board members to understand, and one thing you said, Director Armitage, was that it was different policies on behalf of Valencia Water Company. Well, it was Castaic Lake Water Agency that paid the money, the $73 million, and then essentially turned around and got the $73 million paid back by Valencia Water Company customers. So the water company didn't have anything to do with it. The customers really didn't have anything to do with it. The water agency chose to pay that amount of money and structure it with that interest rate. And I agree with Director Cawley that I think there's a name for that when you get paid a higher interest rate than the money you've borrowed. I forget what it's called, but it's not very legal. So we absolutely have to do this anyway, and it will help the Valencia water folks a little bit. And Mr. Campbell, I didn't mean to diminish the $9 million. I was just remarking that it was really reducing 2 years worth of payments. That's all.
My name is Arbitrage.
Arbitrage. That's what I was trying to say.
All right. Are there any other questions from the board or any further discussion? We do have a motion and a second, I do believe.
We do not on this item.
Again, we do not. Okay, so let me go back to the square one and ask for a motion to approve item 6.1 as stated in the agenda.
Jerry moves.
Bronstein seconds.
Motion by Vice President Gladbach, second by Director Bronstein. Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Osohowski, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cawley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
Thank you. This item has been approved, and that includes resolution number SCV 205.
Thank you, April, and thank you, board, for the thoughtful discussion there. We move on to item 7. Review the revised Proposition 218 notice for retail water rates. Our presenter tonight is Eric Campbell, but once again, Mr. Stone, if you have any introductory comments, feel free to do so.
Short introduction. This, in the overall process of Proposition 218 for setting rates, we are required to send a notice in advance with the proposed maximum rates that the board would consider. It can always adopt rates that are less than that, but not more, based on the notice. And tonight, this is really looking at the form of the notice. It has been, again, through the Finance and Administration Committee, and in fact, some helpful suggestions were provided at committee. So those are reflected here as well tonight. And this is not an action to actually set the hearing or send the notice. That'll be at the upcoming meeting. This is focusing mainly on the layout and format of the information so that our public outreach consultant could complete that and have everything ready for the printing house to send out what is a large number of these notices. Thanks.
Eric, please proceed with your presentation.
Okay, I'd just like to say, I think that Director Stone summed this up very well. It's he covered all the pertinent points. The purpose of tonight is to give you a little bit of extra time to review and think through this, the format of the document. What is remaining is for the legal folks to complete their analysis of the calculations that that are used to support the numbers. That will be coming shortly at the April 20th meeting. We'll be presenting the cost of service report, and you'll also get the ratepayer advocate report. And this final, the notice will be put to a vote to approve so that we can then get it printed and sent out to all of customers and property owners in our service area. So tonight is just your chance to take a good view and think through this. If there's any interest in discussing or putting comments out there tonight on the format, the layout of it, whether it's the colors or the content, that's what we were trying to provide everybody here tonight, a opportunity to opine on. But like Mr. Stone said, this has gone through the committee. We took their good advice and recommendations, and we've incorporated in it. So this is pretty much, we believe it's ready for prime time. And that's all we've got tonight.
President Martin, you're muted.
All right, are there any questions from, yes, I do see a hand from Director Braunstein. You have a question, Director Braunstein.
Yes, well, first of all, thank you so much, Eric. I saw that you guys did some changes on and stuff that I asked for, and I it looks great. I really appreciate it. I was wondering if there was a way to either have the notice of proposed rate changes in the different color so it would pop more, or if on the envelope itself, it said something in a color that would pop more, because this is beautifully designed, but I feel like it kind of gets lost a little bit, and I just want people to just a little bit more pop, and that's it. That's my only comment. It looks great. Thank you so much.
Thank Director, you. Director, do you want to answer that, or
no? I'm sorry. On? I just thank you. Move on.
Okay, Director Armitage.
Thank you. I have three questions. One of them is: this going to be the font size that we're seeing? Is that's the size it's going to be?
Yes, that okay. is the font size.
Thanks, which I think is good. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be miniaturized and be much smaller for people who, like me, who need bigger font. My second question is on the second page where it says that the agency is proposing to make changes to, and then it has commodity rates and service charges. Do you see, where's my camera? These two right here. Yes. Can we use a different term than commodity rates? I'm not sure that's a clear communicative term. Just food for thought. Because when I read that, I'm like, I'm not sure everyone's going to understand what we mean by that. So
we commonly refer to that as the variable charge or the variable rate. So we'll bring that Ben back and have some discussion around that after you folks have all maybe commented on that.
Yeah, or maybe like rates paid per unit of water or something. I don't know, whatever. But I just think that's a little, that may not be a good communicative term. And then lastly, on the very last page, where it talks about written protest, and it says that protests submitted by email and other electronic means do not count as formal written protests. Is that like a legal thing? Is that written somewhere in legal terms? I just don't understand why we wouldn't accept emails as part of a written protest.
I am, we have one of our legal folks on here tonight. I think Joe Byrne, are you on here?
I am on here.
Can you provide some insight on that, or would you?
Sure, yeah. I know that Tom is on as well and is closer to this issue. I believe that probably is a legal requirement, but I'd have to verify, Director Armitage. I'm happy to follow up with you afterwards.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't catch Tom was on here. I just,
he's listening in just now. But I'm happy to check. My impression is that that is a requirement.
Okay.
But I'm happy to verify and communicate with you after
that. Thanks. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming it is, but if it's not, I would hope that maybe we wouldn't make that as a barrier to people submitting comments, so.
Yeah, we'll have the lawyers clear that one up. But yes, that's that we've gone through so much discussion with this, I'm positive that we wouldn't put any more restrictive requirements on here than what the legal requirements are.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, I'll follow up with Eric and with you and verify.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think Director Planbeck, I think you were next.
Thank you. I appreciate the work that was done on this, and I would just like to follow up on Director Armitage's suggestion. And if there's some reason that you have to use commodity rate, maybe what you could do is put in parentheses an easier way of saying it, like water rate, what you're using, rate for what you're using your house, or whatever is going to be easier. I don't know. I'm not good at wordsmithing on the fly, but at least put it in parentheses afterwards. That was my only suggestion.
Okay. Can y'all hear me now?
Yes.
This is Tom Bunn. I'm sorry. Oh, I had a little trouble with my audio. Actually, it's not required by Proposition 218 that we not accept email submissions. The problem is that it's hard to verify that the protests are being submitted by the actual owner of the property. Anybody can send in an email with a particular return address, and it's difficult to tell. So we advise, it's our advice that you not accept email addresses for something like this, but rather have a written paper protest with a signature. But that's not required by Prop 218.
All right. We got Vice President Gladbach has his hand raised. I thought Director Colley did, but Vice President Gladbach, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying, Tom, but can we say, explain why we won't accept emails? Because just with it, the statement, we won't accept emails, kind of looks like hard nosed. I think your rationale is great, but I think we need to be friendly on it.
Of course.
Okay, we couple of more. Is that it, Vice President Gladbach?
Yeah.
Okay, a couple more hands popped up, and Director Colley had your hand up some time back. So go ahead with your question or comment.
Yeah, I had taken it down just because that was the point I wanted to make, is that I create emails if I'm shopping for a car or something. I just create a random email and to hide effectively. So anybody can create an email address. You go to gmail.com and it's easy. And if somebody wanted to screw with us, they could go and create thousands of email addresses and make a god-awful mess of our entire process. So I absolutely agree that we should not be accepting email as a legal protest. If somebody wants to provide a public comment by email, I would encourage them to do so.
All right. Director Planbeck, you had your hand up.
I don't know who is managing the election, whether that's done with an outside agency, but it is possible. I mean, there's a lot of organizations that vote by email. They just give you a number that you would have to do numbers randomly with the address, and they have to sign in with that number. And then you can't have multiple people creating emails, as Mr. Colley suggested. And, you know, a lot of organizations, national organizations, do that when they're required to have membership votes. That's how they do it.
Is that it, Director Planbeck?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. Director Bronstein, you have a question.
Yeah, I think that if we require a parcel number, it's just as easy to write a fake address and a fake, that as sending an email. I understand that it's easier to create email, but I also think that not everybody has envelopes and stamps lying around. It creates, I think, a big barrier for just an everyday person to protest it. I think if we request an address and a parcel number, and other, specific things, or again, what Director Planbeck just recommended, I think that's a great idea. I don't think it should be that hard to weed out the fakes.
All right. I see on the screen the timer, so I guess I don't see any hands raised by directors, but I wanted to make a last comment before we entertain public comment, is I don't think it's very hard to file a protest. I don't think it's a real demanding exercise to ask of our ratepayers that they want to file a protest, just follow the procedures that we've given. So since this is just a discussion item, I would go to public comment. Do we have a member of the public who want to comment on this item, item 7?
Ms. Dunn, please hit star 6 and you may begin your public comment.
Yes, good evening. This is Joan Dunn. I've been looking at the part here where it says potential bill impacts, and I, being a member of the Newhall District, I am quite perplexed as to proposed effective July 1st, 2021, there is a minus $11.24 for a 3/4-inch meter size. Now, if I don't understand it, and this is going to be on this announcement or this notice, how is anybody else going to understand that? That has to do with the Newhall District. I don't understand that at all. Why do we have a minus number? The other issue that I have is about the recycled water. And apparently you're going to try and have everybody use these same rates, but there are, in our Newhall District, there are some, a lot of homes that do not have groundwater. It's all state water. How are they going to be, how is it going to be distinguished between them and the rate that you're going to try and charge for recycled water? Obviously, it looks like they would have to be paying more on their recycled water. Or, I'm sorry, I don't mean recycled water. I mean state water. But I see recycled water down here, so I got it confused. But I would like to know, how are they working with the state water versus the groundwater?
Does that complete your public comment, Ms. Dunn?
Yes, and I would like to know about that minus number. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Eric, can you respond to Ms. Dunn's question, sure, if you don't mind?
The minus sign indicates that your bill would go down by that much per month. So for the 3/4-inch Newhall customers that use on average 18 billing units per month, the rate change effective July 1st of 2021 as proposed would result in your monthly bill going down $11.24 a month. I think that's, I hope that's responsive. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. We have any other public comment, April?
We do. Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit star 6 and you may begin your public comment.
Yes, Cam Noltmeyer. Yes, I've gone through a number of these. And my first question I have is, who is going to be the ratepayer advocate? Because I know we got sold out by them on our rate increase. And I would like to know who it's going to be. And the other thing, it seems like you could make it very simple on these ballots if you would just say, yes, you approve or you disapprove. It would make it very simple for people to say, no, I don't approve of this, and or yes, I do. And just see if you could pass one. That's why I have never seen that on one of these. They send them out so far in advance usually, and then they have it where they used to have the public meetings you could go to. It was so obsolete area that you couldn't find it. But it seems to me this is very simple. It's a vote. Yes or no. And also, I would like to know who the ratepayer advocate would be.
Does that complete your public comment, Ms. Noltmeyer?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very quickly, Eric, can you just remind us who the ratepayer advocate was? Who are we are using? Who we are working with? You're muted, Eric.
Thank you. I apologize. The Ratepayer Advocate is the consulting firm of Robert D. Nahas. They, the individual manager that has been working on this job as the lead for as the Ratepayer Advocate, her name is Ichiko Kido, and she will be here on the 20th to present her their firm's report about their work and what they've done, what they've seen, what they've recommended, and what they support as far as the rate recommendation. So that's the Ratepayer Advocate. And I think that's the question at hand.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. Any other public comment? April, do you see any other public comment?
No, there is not.
Very good. We can move on to item 8, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Stone, it's you are up.
Okay.
Jerry, this is Ed. Can I interject something?
You may, although I think I was going to address it. Go ahead, Director Colley.
Yeah, so sort of to go back, you know, based on the discussion, and I think we sort of left an idea sort of on the table that didn't really get fully discussed, and maybe it should. And that is, first, let me say that a parcel number is not secure. So you can go to the county website and get a parcel number. So that wouldn't help. But and Lynn Planback's idea is this is a vote. Of course, it's not. But it looks a little bit like a vote in that you can protest. And if there's 50% protest, then we would not be able to move forward. So given that, I would not be opposed to staff using the idea if it would be possible at this late date to provide some sort of a random number generation to the individual that they could then include in their email to verify who they are on a protest. So if that is possible to do, I think it would be a pretty good suggestion, actually, to allow folks to email in that secure way. So I think we ought to at least consider it.
Okay. Mr. Stone, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of thoughts floating around here. One is that the provisions of 218 are clearly don't establish an election for rates. They establish a first step, which is to notify the public of the proposed increase and afford them the opportunity to submit a protest. And then if the protest is submitted in sufficient numbers, that can trigger other events, including an election at that point, or if the protest essentially exceeds a majority, then that would negate the proposal. So I think in trying to address access for the protest process, it would be important that we don't inadvertently just create an election. I think that's going beyond what Proposition 218 provides for at that first step. However, submitting by email, there may be other options. One might be to email an image of a letter. So essentially create your protest letter and then email it. Attached rather than just a text email that could be potentially generated. I'm trying to think of ways to create something that would be harder to mass produce and compare to a database and just create a whole bunch of, you know, in the era of the deep fake, this is becoming probably something that will happen to some unfortunate water district at some point in time. I'd hate to be the one that it happens to, but that's a thought. The challenge with sending out individualized ballots from a third party firm that does HOA elections or other kinds of corporate elections is then you're essentially stepping into an election. Tom may want to offer his thoughts on it, but in my view, I don't think I want to recommend that the agency bypass the protest process and essentially create an election.
All right.
Since I was invited to comment, I will. I certainly agree with that. I think that that's what the voters, when they passed Prop 218, intended, was that there be a protest process, and only the people that, not everyone was given the opportunity to vote yes or no. You just submit your protest if you have one.
Director Colley.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that I have no desire to do an election. That wasn't, I thought I'd made that clear. I hope I made that clear. But I think it would be possible without creating an election if we could print on each individual, on the mailing to each individual house, a random number that we kept track of. And so when the letter arrived at 100 Main Street, if it had the a random number, and the folks at 100 Main Street were able to send in an email that repeated that random number, we would know that we were in fact talking to the right house. So, and they would then, their protest would count. So if that's possible at this late date to create and mailing, you know, obviously that requires the generation of a random number on every individual and keep every individual mailing and keeping track of that. If that's doable at this late date, I think we ought to strongly consider it. And that would be a very secure and a good way to keep track of a protest.
All right, Vice President Gladbach, you have your hand raised.
Well, making it easier, but the same concept as Director Colley, why can't they just put their account number on the letter? And this goes to the people that are getting bills, so, you know, there's an account number there. That way it won't be duplicated.
I just don't think that would be as secure.
All right. It doesn't have to be secure. I mean, if you get 10 people with the same account number, you know, you use one of them.
Well, I see Chris Perez is going to provide some input. So please let us know your thoughts, Chris.
There you go. Good afternoon, everyone. Good evening. I'm sorry. Good evening, everyone. Yeah, I wanted to kind of just share my thoughts. The random number idea sounds awesome. I don't think the timing and the complexity of our systems, because right now we have two, if y'all remember, we have two customer service systems. So they're independent systems. We have a legacy system still running, a database, and a whole set of customers in for the Santa Clarita Valley Water, the legacy Santa Clarita Valley Water District. And then we have another one. We just recently consolidated both the Newhall and the legacy Valencia into a different customer service system. So we have two systems. And the idea of randomizing two separate systems can be kind of complicated and kind of difficult. I like the idea that seems simple and most functional was what... number one is the idea of someone, you know, most people have a smartphone, they could take a picture of their prepared letter. Or even easier was President Gladbach's idea of, Vice President Gladbach's idea of utilizing the unique number that's given to each customer as a customer customer ID number. I think it's called customer ID number. So they all have unique numbers. There's, I forgot how many digits they are, 11 digit number. Those won't be easily replicated. And those will be unique to each individual customer. And if needed, they could technically be checked against the individual customer database.
Thank you, Chris. Director Cooper, you had something to comment on.
A couple of ways to look at this is the legislature set up the 218 process. And they outlined in there that people had to provide a written protest. At the time, there was nothing about being able to do this electronically. We've been looking at this rate case now for 2.5 years. And here at the last minute that we're ready to put this thing out, all of a sudden we're changing the rules and saying, let's let people do it by emails, and then why don't we let them do it by texts or Facebook or TikTok? Or, you know, the process has been there. Every water agency in this valley has used it before in the 218 process. New Hall County has, Valencia has, Santa Clarita has, the old Cass State Lake Water Agency has. There's a process that's been set. If we'd like to look at it for the future down the road of coming up with something, I think that's great. But I think to do this at the 11th hour, and the staff and people have worked on this very hard for years, is late in the game, and we need to move on with the way that it's been designed by the legislature at this point. If we want to change it in the future, then let's change it. But let's not do something here at the last minute just because we think we need to do something.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Is there any other comments on this before we get back to item 8? Mr. Stone.
Yeah. Well, in the interest of having an open mind, I've been off Googling, and there are some public water entities that provide the ability to do an email protest. So I think we could perhaps check in with a few of those to see what their experience has been. They do require that the person include their name and address. I suppose we could consider what other information we want to concern, you know, ask them to include. But that gives me pause that there are presently some agencies that do and some that don't, in a quick kind of Google search across California. I'll throw that out for the board to chew on.
All right. Director Armitage, you had your hand up and then you dropped your hand.
Well, thank you. I just want to say that I don't understand why this is being considered the 11th hour when the board has just seen this for the first time. So I think this is an appropriate discussion to be having at this time.
All right, very good. Mr. Bond, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I would suggest that perhaps this not be decided tonight because we need to explore what options we do have. And I hear a division among the directors perhaps about whether to go with an option, even if we had one, email option as opposed to a written ballot. So perhaps I'd like to offer the suggestion that staff come up with at least two options to present to the board. One is the existing written ballot idea, or written protest idea. And then the other one would be an email type option, and the staff would give pros and cons on that. And that way, because we really would like to have this done at the next meeting, yeah. Perhaps not essential, but that's our definite goal. So if we could present enough options to the board, that might be the way to go.
So Mr. Stone and Mr. Campbell, does that work for you to come up with some options for the board to consider at the April 20 meeting?
Happy to chime in on this. Yeah, we will do the research, but you know, I agree very much so with Director Cooper that you know, this has been the standard practice everywhere that I've been as well, not just in the valley here, but throughout Southern California. And to try to do something different, just to try to be more exhaustive. There's so many risks out there right now with IT security and the fact that we are going through all sorts of consolidations with our systems and our processes right now. It's just adding another layer of complexity and going to slow this thing down. If we have to validate each email that comes in for a customer account, you're talking about another staff person sitting there manually reconciling back and forth from, did I, you know, print out the email, look at the records and see, does this match with this? Yes or no? I mean, these things are all expensive and time consuming. And I think they're great ideas for down the road next time, but right now we're in the process of trying to integrate an awful lot of systems and things. And there isn't a process that has been approved by the voters. If we can just, I would prefer staying with what's been approved and go forward now, but also be very open-minded to look at how we might do more easier way to communicate or let our customers communicate their protests in the future. Thank you.
All right, since go ahead, Director Bronstein, before I say what I want to say. Go ahead.
I had my first question was, is it considered, do we expect everybody to handwrite them, or is typing up a letter and printing it out what we are, like, what's the expectation? Because people can also just type up whatever letter they want, put in whatever information they want, and mail it just as easily as an, email issue. No,
that's not what we heard a moment ago as far as the ease and the of writing a letter and mailing it. So that's kind of counter to the argument in hand, but I understand your point. But
nefarious and wants to do it, there is a way to actually hack this as well. So I'm asking if we're expecting handwritten letters or if it's typed up letters.
No, it's Tom, I bet you you'll agree here that it's, if it's in an envelope and it's signed, it counts.
Well, that's right. It has to be signed, but it can be typewritten.
Okay, we have two attorneys with us tonight. This is not agendized to vote on the method of notifying customers of their procedure for filing a protest. So I think this was an informational item. Do we have time at the next meeting, which we could agendize a vote on how to notify customers, how customers are to file their protest? And to conduct a vote at that time. I mean, first of all, Joe and Tom, I don't believe we can do a vote tonight on this, can we? We don't have.
In my opinion, you can.
Well, you got
you
one
can do that. How the, you were.
Go ahead, Tom.
This item was to discuss and not approve the notice, but to give direction. And I think it would be appropriate to give direction if somebody wanted to make a motion, for example, to stick with the written ballots. That could be considered. I don't think, even though you could do it another way and have a motion to provide email ballots, I don't think we've fully fleshed that out yet, and I would recommend against that.
I'll put out there, President Martin, in response to your question, if you bring this to the April 20th board meeting and you were to vote and approve of doing something different than what is currently listed in there, we will not have time to implement and create a process, test it, make sure it works, and be able to get this out, because it's got to go to the printer within, I think it's 10 days, or it has to be mailed within 10 days of the 20th in order to keep the rest of the schedule on track. So that's getting back to what Director Cooper mentioned about the 11th hour. We've got a pretty compressed schedule here, and we weren't anticipating trying to be leading edge on utilizing all the different various forms of communication on this. We were just going with the established way that it's been done in the past.
Okay, I see Director Colley's hand up, but Joe, I'd like to get your opinion first on whether we can vote on the method of filing the protest.
Yeah, President Martin, I agree with Tom that it's not, you're not taking a formal action in the sense that you're approving the rates or anything like that. You're just giving direction to staff of what to do or what to include in the notice, and that I think that's fine. What Tom said, I agree with.
All right, Director Colley, your comment.
Yeah, when I asked to bring this topic kind of back, I think I made it clear that I if there is time, and I recognize it's the 11th hour, and so what Eric has told us is that with 10 days to do it, it wouldn't be realistic, and I can accept that, and I think it's fine to leave it as is.
All right. To wrap this up, I guess I would ask for a motion to stay with the method of filing the protest as described in the item 7.
I would still make that motion.
Motion by Director Cooper.
Second, Mortensen.
Second by Vice President Mortensen. I would ask, are there any public comments on this before we call for the vote?
It does not appear so.
All right, Madam Secretary, you heard the motion, and would you please call the roll?
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
No, I think we shouldn't allow email.
Director Cooper, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Ford, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Plambeck, how do you vote?
No, I think we should explore this a little bit longer. I think we could still make the what we need to do by the next meeting.
Director Bronstein, how do you vote?
No.
Director Osuhosky, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Colley, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Kelly, how do you vote?
Yes.
Vice President Mortensen, how do you vote?
I think we should take a stand against fraud and vote yes.
Vice President Gladbeck, how do you vote?
Yes.
President Martin, how do you vote?
Yes.
This item passes, leave as is.
Thank you very much. With that, we can move on to what we were already started, which was item 8, General Manager's Report. Mr. Stone.
Thanks. Actually, tonight I was going to forego the report while there is a lot going on, there's not an awful lot that hasn't already been covered in the departmental and committee reports that come in written form to the board. Most of what's left is stuff that is related to litigation or other things that aren't yet ripe for public discussion. So I will spare you a long report tonight.
You're muted.
Sorry about that, everybody. We're not asking for public comment on item 8 because there was no report given. Move on to item 9, committee meeting recap reports.
President Martin, Vice President Mortensen has his hand up.
Mr. Martin, Vice President Mortensen. You're muted.
All right, you are. Thank you very much. I just had a quick question for Matt Stone. I did try to use the Your SEV Water rate planning tool and noticed it's unavailable and was wondering if we had an estimate of when that would be available for our customers.
Good question.
Yeah, got to unmute. We are still beta testing it. So you see it in the draft document so that you see everything that's going to be in that document. But our thought is to have it go live concurrent with the mailing to our customers. That will give us the most time to beta test it. And it is, you know, we've tried to play with it using both desktop and telephonic smartphone devices. Telephonic sounds ancient, doesn't it? Smartphones. And so anyway, that's the answer. It will be available pretty much concurrent with the mailing. That'll give us more time to make sure we get it right and also to populate it with the final approved proposal that the board would approve when they set the hearing.
Thank you so much, President Martin, for indulging the late question.
President Thank Martin, it does appear we do have a public comment, but I know that you said on item 8 that you weren't taking a public comment.
If we have a public comment, I'm more than happy to take it, so go ahead.
Ms. Noltmeyer, hold on just one moment while I share my screen here and get the timer up. Ms. Noltmeyer, go ahead and hit star 6 and you may begin your public comment.
I'm sorry, I don't believe I want a comment.
Okay, thank you.
Very good, thank you. All right. We can move on to item 9, committee meeting recap reports. In your package, you do have written reports for 3 different committee meetings. Are there any questions regarding the information that's in your package? I see a hand from Director Armitage. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just have a comment on the information shared in the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting report, and also the information that was shared in that committee meeting. I just want to say I'm really excited about the plans for the conservatory garden and education experience. I think that's going to be a really great upgrade that's happening. And I hope to see plenty of California native plants on full display for when our ratepayers and customers come through to enjoy that newly refurbished garden in the future. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see any other questions. Do we have any public comment on item 9?
We do not.
All right. We move on to item 10. Written reports for information purposes only. There are 5 reports in your packet. Are there any questions from the board on any of the 5 reports that are included in the packet? I don't go out to see Director Armitage with the physical handout.
One question from the Finance Administration and Information Technology section report. There was reference to staff currently recruiting a temporary water quality scientist. And my question related to that is this person going to be staff or is it a consulting position? And why is it going to be temporary?
If right. You'd like me to chime in, I can.
Oh, my gosh, we have Mike Alfred. Yes, please.
So one of our lab scientists is going out on ELA. So we just need the support in the lab to help with some of the tasks that this person does. And it will be temporary until the person comes back.
Oops, got it. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Alfred. Appreciate your help. Are there any public comments on item 10, written reports?
There is not.
There are no public comments. We can move on to item 11, President's report. I have a few things to mention to you tonight. A package of updates for your SCD Water Board of Directors Information and Policy Notebook was sent out yesterday. Please update the tabs in your binder once you receive them. A few more updates. There will be 2 public hearings at the special board meeting on April 26, one for adoption of the water shortage contingency plan and the other approving an ordinance for water conservation and water shortage. The AQUA 2021 virtual spring conference will be held May 12th through May 13th. There will be a special board meeting on May 27th. It is the public hearing for the adoption of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. And there's a possible special board meeting that was scheduled for June 14th, but has been moved to June 16th. And that concludes my report for tonight. Are there any public comments on item 11?
There is not.
Thank you very much. We can move on to item 12, AB 1234. You have a number of AB 1234 reports in your packet. Are there any oral reports tonight from members of the board? AB 1234 reports from the board. Director Ozahoski.
Thank you, President Martin. President Martin, I was wondering if you can, I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but go over your report too regarding the Delta conveyance design. How is that coming along, that project?
Yes, I have been participating on the Delta conveyance board now for a couple of months. The effort lately has been to complete the environmental documentation. Most of the preliminary design work has been done. Now it's going to be support of the environmental process as it moves through. I've submitted some written reports identifying what we talked about in the board meetings, but we just transitioned from the previous executive director to a new executive director. And right now we're in the transitional phase for that. But right now we're conducting all the work necessary to complete the environmental work and the subsurface exploration for geotechnical information necessary for the tunneling. So those are probably the high points, Peter.
Okay, Thank you.
All right.
And ask me to turn in my summary on the WaterWise virtual breakfast series regarding the desalter for Camarillo. But I've turned that in today, and April, maybe you can put the copy of that report during the next board meeting as a director's report so we don't duplicate things.
I can also, I'll post it for you tomorrow because I know it came in a little late, so we can post it on the website. It'll be on the website for tomorrow morning.
Okay. One thing to note, so they're building a facility to get rid of salt water and their groundwater. You know, they're very close to the ocean. And their facility, unlike our facilities, is going to be contracted out, meaning, you know, they don't operate it, they just supply it with materials.
Overflow door that you have too.
That's something interesting. But it's all summarized in my report, and I encourage everyone to take a look at it. That's all for me. Thank you. And thank you, President Martin, for going over your report.
Yes. Thank you, Director Ozahosky. I have, are there any other further AB 1234s? Because I have one I need to make, probably on behalf of myself and perhaps a couple of other directors. All right, I see none. So yesterday, I and Director Cooper and Director Atkins attended the SCV GSA board meeting yesterday. A few items were discussed. We discussed the rotating schedule for appointment of president and vice president. And later on in the board meeting, we voted to elect Gina Toley president and Maria Gutzai as vice president for this year. We approved a resolution adopting a revised norms and expectations for members of the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. We received an update on the Sustainable Groundwater Management Plan work, which is quite comprehensive and well appreciated. We approved the use of contingency funds for outreach work by the consultant CV Strategies. We received a status report on integrated water management and Measure W work, and an update on the Bouquet Canyon Creek work. And that concludes my report for that SCV GSA board meeting. So with that, I would ask, are there any public comments on item 12?
There is not.
There is not. Very good. So we go to item 13, director reports. Are there any director reports tonight? And Director Ozahosky has his hand raised.
Yes, so there's going to be a summit to discuss COVID-19 mitigation regarding everything from testing, RTQ, PCR, to remediation and enclosed spaces. As you know, that the cruise industry and the hotel industry took a large hit last year and this year. So I do have a link for this summit. It's going to take place April 15th at 7 a.m. It's called Carnival Corporation 2021 Global Scientific Summit on COVID-19, and I would urge all the directors to attend if you can. A lot of good information is going to be presented.
Thank you, Peter.
So if you do want a link, please send me an email. I'll go ahead and send it out to you.
Very good.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Director Ozahosky. Director Cooper, you have your hand up.
I'm glad Peter brought that item up. And yes, I would like to get the link if you would, Peter. Today, Governor Newsom announced that June 15th, he's going to take all of the COVID things that we've had to go through off, and California will be opened back up completely on June 15th. That's if things stay the same as they are right now. One thing that does mean is that it will probably be shortly after that we'll be going back to in-person meetings. If he's going to open up California, I'm sure he's going to open up some of the public agencies in the state legislature and the rest of it as well. So we ought to start preparing for how do we open back up, anything that we need to take precautions at the board meetings after that.
So does anyone know whether the governor will then rescind his executive order on virtual meetings without violation of the Brown Act?
I would expect he will, but I'm not sure. It may be right after that.
Mr. Byrne, did you,
have you heard any? Sure. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but there are a few, there's a Brown Act bill that is pending that has to do with continuing to allow meetings from a distance. But if he does rescind the order, then that would be logical. But my guess is that, and this is purely just my guess, that they'll probably allow for it for a continuing period of time while there's still some sensitivity to the issue of COVID-19 and wearing masks and adhering to additional social distancing. But I'll look up that bill and I'll make sure that we're communicating with staff about anything that we know. But I would anticipate that it would probably go a little longer than I would think it'd probably go towards the end of the year.
Well, that certainly could introduce some challenges for staff if we have to conduct meetings in a somewhat like a dual format. That would be a real challenge.
President Martin, I'm not convinced that, and this is again just me, but there's a lot of benefits that people perceive to the Zoom meetings as well for access for people. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of a hybrid solution that allows for a more relaxed format than what previously existed, which was, noticing as a public location, every location where someone was participating in the meeting, et cetera. So remains to be seen, but I've got a kind of internal tickler on that I'll follow up, and Tom and I can communicate with staff.
Okay, very good.
President Are there Martin, any other? Before yes. you move on, can we go back to Director Osuchowski's comments on the summit that's coming up? Is this a summit that you want to approve for the entire board right now, or is this just one that they can attend but there is no stipend?
It's not on the pre-approved list, so
it is not.
Yeah, I don't think there should be a stipend for this. It's
right.
Okay.
Just
very good.
For the record, I'm not asking for a stipend for this meeting. This is a knowledge-based summit. Just because it's coming from organizations that have been heavily hit by COVID, and it's going to go over direct testing via RTQ-PCR, or indirect via some sort of an ELISA method, and obviously abatement through UVC and HEPA filters. So, if you are interested, please let me know. I'll email you the link.
Well, I would say to make it clear, why don't you provide that information to April and she can circulate it with the notation that it does not qualify for a stipend.
All right, will do.
Does that answer your question, April?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
So will it Very be good. Sent to all of us, or should we still talk to Director Osuchowski about it?
Once Director Osuchowski sends me the information, I will forward it on to the full board.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Very good. All right. I think we were complete with director reports. We do have a closed session tonight. You should have received the information from the board secretary on how to log in using Microsoft Teams, I believe. And so with that, I would ask that you log out of the, by the way, the closed session is for items 14.1 and 14.2 on the agenda. Do we need to say any more about that, Tom or Joe, before we adjourn to closed session?
Yeah, no, I think that's sufficient, President Martin. Thank you for doing that.
Okay, very good. So with that, please, directors, log out of the Zoom meeting, and please be mindful that you need to be in a place where you cannot be overheard. It is a closed session meeting. So we will see you in Microsoft Teams momentarily. We'll allow about 5 minutes. It is now 8:14. How about if we reconvene on Microsoft Teams at 8:20? Thank you.